The band's latest release, Blood Alliance, it's scheduled to come out in March, later in March, via Napalm Records. Can you tell us a little bit more about the concept and ideas behind this release?
Sure, yeah, a lot of the ideas stemmed from the kind of well-documented breakup of the previous lineup. You know, I was in two minds as to whether to actually carry on, to be honest, at that point. But lots of inspiration hit me as I was coming up with general ideas for the record. And, you know, the opening track, Rising Anew, is all about the band in a sense. Well, it's about the band and it's about the fans as well. And it's sort of the phoenix from the flames kind of thing. And how the sort of lyrics go on about how we wouldn't be able to do it without the supporters we've got behind us, you know. You know, and I thought it was a great song to have to open the record as well, after the instrumental. You know, it's got the right message, it's got the right vibe. But then, you know, there's a couple of other ideas running through the whole album, the concept of survival, which again relates to the band, but also relates to the environmental theme of the lyrics in the song Survive and the Japanese bonus song, Time to Burn. And there's also the idea of brotherhood, you know, in the title track, Blood Alliance itself. It's about the brotherhood of the band, but it's also about the whole secret society brotherhood thing, you know, passed down father to son, generation to generation, that kind of thing. And even a song like City of Lies, you know, is very loosely based on an old English myth of the tale of a character called Dick Whittington. I don't know if it's one you guys are familiar with over there.
No.
Basically, the simple premise of it is a young man goes off to London because he thinks the streets are paved with gold and all that kind of thing, and it turns out to be quite the opposite, you know. So there's a few different ideas and themes running through the record.
And in terms of, like you mentioned, the band breaking up and everything, how was the process of putting people together again, and what were your expectations? Well, what are your expectations for all these new people?
Well, it was quite a challenge, to be honest. You know, particularly where I'd worked with most of the previous lineup for quite a number of years. You know, we had a good thing going on and a good working relationship. So having to build that aspect of it, you know, you've got that side of it and you've got the musical side of it, if you like. And you can only really judge people on their musical ability to start with. You don't really know what the bond is going to be like when you put all these guys together. But, you know, I've got to say I've been very fortunate. I think one of the most important things was getting a couple of guys in who are quite experienced. You know, where we've got, obviously, Chitty Somapalo on vocals now. You know, he's an experienced character. He's been in the scene for a long time. And Paul Finney as well, bass player. Although he's not a well-known musician, I've known the guy for probably half my life. And he's worked for me as a stage manager, tour manager before, so he understands how I like to do things as well. So when you combine the experience that those guys bring with probably the two stellar finds for me have been the guitar players, Andy and Gav. You know, they're both young guys, 23, 27 years old, and they're the kind of guys who don't really actually know how good they are. And that's kind of a refreshing thing to work with, in a sense. Just, you know, generally speaking, guitar players are quite the opposite. But these two guys, you know, just lovely lads from a musical point of view and from a personal point of view. And the other amazing thing about those two is they're actually friends. You know, again, I've never really seen a twin guitar combo. When you're in a rehearsal, they're sort of going, oh, you take this solo, Andy. And, no, you take it, you know. Which, you know, is quite amusing in a lot of ways. But to, as I say, getting these guys together is one thing, but knowing how it was going to actually work is a completely different thing entirely. But, you know, I've got to tip my hat to all of them, really. They've all put in an incredible amount of work over the last 12 months to get us to where we are now, you know. And, you know, I couldn't have done it without them. And I think hopefully everybody will accept the new lineup as well, because it's always difficult when people have been used to, particularly from a vocal point of view, one guy's been on the four previous albums. and then you come along with a completely different type of singer for your fifth album, yeah, it's a risk in a sense. But I saw it as an opportunity to maybe try something different. hopefully everybody's going to appreciate that rather than see it as a negative.
And how do you see it from the press reactions and some of the fan reactions since the album was released earlier, received for, with a different label? How do you see that people actually reacted to it?
Well, I think so far, we've had four or five reviews that I've seen so far. I think one of them was from your website, actually.
Yeah.
I'm very eagle-eyed when it comes. I'm always scouring the web trying to find out what people are saying. But so far, everybody's been, really into it. You know, saying it's, in most cases, saying it's the best record we've done so far. The band has done so far. And I think that, for the new guys in the band, that's a fantastic feeling for them, particularly. You know, it is for me as well, but I think in a different way. You know, they're coming in, and the other curious thing about all the new guys, they were all fans of the band beforehand. I never knew that, when I brought them into the band. But as time went by, that became apparent. And you sat in rehearsals, and they say, "Oh, can we play this song off Neverworld? Or can we play this song off Wings of Fervor?" I think, Christ, you know all the songs. But no, the fan feedback from the guys who imported the Japanese version a few weeks ago has been, I'd say, 95% really, really positive. There's been the odd person who said, "Oh, no, don't like the lineup, don't like the vocals." But I think that was always going to be the case. But as long as the majority of people are happy with what we're doing, I think that's the important thing. And maybe we'll, interest a few people who perhaps found us not to their taste before.
Yeah, exactly, with the new vocalist particularly. And the whole recording process and stuff, did you have all the songs prepared before you brought this guy in, or did you actually sat down as a group and started the writing process?
Well, I'd written, I think, probably about half, maybe six of the songs before the guys arrived. And they kind of then inspired me to write the remaining ones, but three of the songs I co-wrote with Andy, one of the guitar players, and I think he's added, he's very much into his dream theatre and progressive metal, and certainly a song like Crunching the Numbers, the middle section, we really worked quite closely on that together, and added some different things that you've probably never seen from Power Quest before. But the whole arrangement side of things, we worked very, very hard in the rehearsal room, to the point when we went to the studio to actually record the album itself, apart from the odd guitar solo here and there, everything was worked out. We knew exactly what we were doing. And that just made the process so smooth and so quick, really, compared to how we've been, or how I've been in the past, if you like. Normally we take 6 to 7 weeks to record an album, and this time we pretty much did the recording in about 3.5, I think. And that was all down to preparation.
And how do you feel adjusting to the new, changes and stuff that the new lineup brings?
Well, I think one thing I made is a deliberate decision, bringing in two guitar players to replace Andrea. I wanted to go for a bit more of a guitar-centric sound. I'm aware that, in the past people said, "Oh, there's too much keyboards in Power Quest, blah, blah, blah." But I kind of going to be that way when your keyboard player's writing the songs. But I did make a conscious effort to, sort of rein myself in, if you like, and say, like, let's try and make certain aspects of these songs a bit more metal, if you like, rather than kind of melodic rock with a hard edge. And I think we succeeded in doing that to a greater extent, to sort of fuse a more sort of heavy metal sound rather than a more polished sound that perhaps we've had before. And I think the production and the producer himself, Chris Fielding at Boyle Studios in Wales, normally he works with bands like Primordial and Napalm Death and people like that. Power metal or melodic metal is a complete new thing to him. But he had some great ideas, for the drum sound and the guitar sound, which took it in a completely different direction from a production point of view to what we've done in the past. And I think that all helps, you know. For me, anyway, I think it's undoubtedly the heaviest album we've ever done. And probably, arguably, the fastest in places as well. You know, maybe it's gone back to the speed of the debut album in some ways. But I think the whole mixture of those things has, you know, made it into what it is. And I've got to say, I'm very happy, to be honest.
And you guys have some touring dates scheduled. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, and how do you feel it's going to work out with the new people on board?
Yeah, we've got, starting next week, actually, I think. We've got a festival called Hammerfest on March the 19th, which is organised by Metal Hammer magazine over here in the UK. I've played it a couple of times in the past, and it's good fun, but it'll be... a good challenge for the new guys to start off on a festival stage and show what they can do, you know. But I haven't got any doubts, I haven't got any worries. You know, I know the guys know it inside out. I know they've got the ability to sell the show as well. You know, so I'm quite looking forward to actually getting into life with these guys and getting into action. A few days after that, we've got a cool little tour with Symphony X, which will be only three shows, but three UK shows with those guys will be a blast, really. Probably equivalent to a tour with Helloween we did a few years ago in the UK. You know, it should be nice to play with a band you admire yourself, and an opportunity to maybe get across to a slightly different fan base as well. So I'm really looking forward to those. In May, we're doing the first part of a headline UK tour. Well, we'll sort of go from London to Glasgow in Scotland and down to Manchester and all over the place, really. And part two of that will be probably in September, October time, I think.
And just keep going, sorry about that.
There's some European dates that are being planned as well, I think, for Holland and Belgium and Luxembourg, I think, at the minute. And hopefully some summer festivals as well. So, yeah, it's shaping up to be quite a busy first part of the year.
And do you guys have anything in the works for North America, US, or is just something that's the goal, but it's still not that there yet?
Well, yeah, US and South America as well, Japan, those kind of places are places I've been wanting to play all my musical life, you know. And I'm always being asked about, why don't we play in the States, and, you know, why didn't you come in? And really, it's a supply and demand issue more than anything. You know, we've got to sell enough albums, and enough people have got to buy the album to want us to come over. I've been trying to explain to some of the younger fans recently, where you get into this whole debate about, you know, illegal downloading and all that kind of thing, and they'll say, well, yeah, but we'll buy a ticket to your show. And I say, yeah, but think about it very simply. Tour support is calculated on CD sales, not on illegal downloads, you know. And they don't seem to get it most of the time. But that's basically the problem for us. You know, we've got to sell more records. We do that, we get to go more places. It's very simple, really. Well, the theory is simple, isn't it? The actual, you know, getting it done is another thing entirely. But looking at the promotion campaign that the record company have done this time, you know, I think they believe in this album more than they did the previous one. The size of the adverts and the magazine have gotten bigger, you know, instead of having a quarter page, you're getting a full page and all that kind of stuff. And that's really good to see. But hopefully, you know, people are going to read the great reviews, see these adverts, hear the songs that we've previewed already, come to the shows, and all being well, you know, that's going to mean we can come over to the States and places like that, even if it's just for a festival here and there, or maybe a week playing a few shows here and there. You know, it'll be a start, and it's something I've, you know, been wanting to do the whole time we've been doing the band. But it's just getting that break, I think. You know, I hope Blood Alliance will be the thing that does it.
And in terms of the fan base, where do you say that you have the biggest fan base? Since we don't see it to be more too big the type of music you guys play. too big in the UK particularly.
No, it's not massive in the UK at all, really. Having said that, we have got a very loyal fan base over here. You know, when you go out, you're not going to go out and play a show to 1,000 people. But, you know, we're quite happy to go out and play to 200, 300, 400 people. And if you can get that number of people on a UK tour doing the sort of music we do, you know, I think that's pretty good going these days. You know, particularly when you think, you know, we're not... UK tours are all self-funded as well, you know, we sort out absolutely everything. There's a real DIY ethic there, if you like. But I'm a firm believer in, you know, you make a record, you've got to go out and promote it. You know, it doesn't matter how you do it, but you've got to get out there. And, you know, even when record companies in the past have said, no, we're not going to help you, I've got to find a way to do it. Because people who buy the record deserve to have the chance to see you play as well. But, you know, other than that, I think Europe is probably our... Europe and Japan are probably our two strongest areas. I noticed when we toured Europe a few years ago, Spain, Portugal, Italy, those countries particularly, were absolutely crazy. Completely different vibe to the UK as well. You know, the UK crowds were a little bit more reserved, shall we say. But the Spanish guys, I remember, being absolutely insane. But, you know, in a good way, of course. And Japan, you know, we've always done reasonably well out there, to be honest. I think part of that's been having the stability of being with the same record company for four albums now. They know how we work, we know how they work, and, you know, they do a good job with our stuff. And again, hopefully we can get out there and play someday as well. But yeah, I think, you know, from contact I have from fans, people all over, you know, South America as well, people all over the world are saying, well, you know, why don't you play here? And I think, well,
yeah,
there's probably only 10 of you who want us to, you know? But yeah, we're not going away, you know. The Blood Alliance is just the start of the PQ Part 2, if you like. It's a calling card in some respects, and a very good one, I think, and I'm really proud of the record and of what the guys have put into it, but it's just the start, you know. There's a lot more to come, I think, from this lineup.
And how do you feel, how do you think that you've been able to keep up, you know, that you're trying to make the music stay current with kind of the trends? Because you can't really play the same album over and over, and you kind of have to, you know, keep growing. How do you feel, or how do you see that you've been able to do that over the previous albums to this?
Well, I think one thing that in power metal, but metal generally, in a lot of cases, bands don't do enough with their lyrics for me. You know, I'm a big fan. It's something that started really with the Master of Illusion album, but I'm finding, I think it's a product of getting older, to be honest, that I'm paying way more attention to what's going on in the world. I'm interested in economies, I'm interested in the climate, environment, and all this kind of thing. And I'm just finding inspiration from that aspect as well for lyrics for songs. And I know a lot of metal fans will say, oh, well, we don't want serious lyrics, we just want to sing about dragons and beer and stuff like that. And you think, well, yeah, okay, that's fine, you know, if that's what you want. But it's not what I want to do. You know, I want to try and at least challenge myself a little bit. Think, right, I want to write about this subject, and the music's going to be in this style, but the lyrics are serious. But just because the lyrics are serious doesn't mean there can't be sing-along lyrics. So I think the art is to disguise sort of politics or general, you know, current affairs type issues. Disguise your lyrics a little bit so there's almost two sides to it, and it's something I've really tried to work on with this record. And I think that's one way that I try and stay current. You know, I'm really not remotely interested in following what's popular in music or trying to keep up with the latest technology, although we do. It's not a primary thing for me. What I want to do is make a record that ultimately I'm happy with, the guys are happy with. And from then on, it's really a case of, well, we hope everybody else likes it. but we're proud of it. We think it's the best we could do at this particular time. And over to you to see what you think, you know. I think it's always been my approach, really. So, yeah, I just try and have a bit of a window on the world and what we're doing, but also try and keep the little bit of escapism area going on as well.
And where do you draw the line, for example, because we have all these power metal bands that sound impeccable and amazing on CD, and then thanks to a lot of production, and then you see them live, and they're completely terrible, they don't even sound similar. What is your your line between using too much production and studio tricks in your music?
Well, it's something that we really took a step, I took a step back from with Blood Alliance. A good example would be recording keyboards. Normally I spend an awful long time on keyboards, getting it just right, you know, making sure everything's as perfect as it can be. But virtually all the keyboards on this album were played live. You know, it's just a case of, right, roll the tape, play, done. No editing, just that's it. And I think that added something. You know, I never thought it would. I thought it would take away, but in this particular case, I think it's been a positive thing. Another example, some of the guitar solos on the album were actually one take. You know, a couple of the really technical ones that Gav plays in, I think it's in the song Crunching Numbers and Survive. He just sat down, plugged in, ran the tape, and just nailed it straight away, and then turned to me and said, "Is that okay?" So yeah, man, that'll do just fine. So I think that kind of vibe adds something to the record as well. It's got a kind of freshness to it. So from that perspective, I've got no doubts that the guys will be able to reproduce absolutely everything in a live environment, you know, from vocals to guitar solos to keyboard solos, whatever it might be. But yeah, I take your point about overproduction. Technology, it's a fine line between using enough and using too much, and sometimes I think the line's very blurred and it's not quite clear exactly when you should stop. But you know, I think doing this record, I think I've learnt a lot about when to use technology and when not to, and again, I think it's produced a more, although it's a modern sounding record in the sense of it doesn't sound like it's from the 80s or whatever, but you know, I don't want to be a trend jumper and start tuning down to C sharp or something, or you know, adding sort of techno bits to the song or whatever. It's not about that for me, you know, but I'll leave that to other people.
And in terms of the future, where do you see the band going in the future, the new reborn band?
Well, I think it's obviously the response and reaction to the Blood Alliance is going to determine that to an extent. What tends to happen for me normally is about 3 months after, 3 or 4 months after an album comes out is when I'll start writing for the next one. But I think we've hit a combination on this record that I'd like to pursue, you know. I'd like to have some technical stuff involved in the next record, you know, maybe a couple of epic tracks, you know, really, really long songs. I know Andy's got some ideas on that front already. But keeping the important thing with Power Quest, for me and I think for a lot of the fans, is the sense of melody. You've got to have a strong melody in every song. And I think that's one area where Blood Alliance maybe stands above the previous albums. I think every song's got a hook or a catchy melody or a catchy chorus that you can remember. And it's so important to have that in every song if you can possibly do it. And that was part of the process, really, for this record. We had 2 or 3 other songs that we could have recorded. And, you know, they weren't bad songs, but they just didn't quite come up to the standard of what we eventually chose. So, yeah, hopefully, you know, the record does well. We can get out and play a bit more. Next year, my aim is to try and release the follow-up to this one in the autumn time of 2012 and carry on from there, really. You know, hopefully it's going to be an upwards journey for us. You know, it's, at the minute it's still, which way is it going to go? You know, is the general reaction going to be as the early reaction has been, or is it going to be like an election process sometimes where you think it's going one way and then, you know, at the last minute it goes nosedives. But yeah, well, you've got to be positive, I think. And I think after 10 years of doing the band and putting my kind of life into it, if you like, you know, I've got no intentions of going anywhere anytime soon, and you know, there'll definitely be a follow-up to Blood Alliance, and hopefully, you know, it'll be on the kind of crest of a wave kind of thing.
And just kind of closing remarks, do you have anything to say to the North American audiences, and pretty much all over the world are going to be checking out this interview?
Absolutely. As always, you know, I appreciate the support from, you know, the fans absolutely everywhere. North American fans, you know, I was gutted that we couldn't make it out there for Plug Power USA in 2009. I thought that was going to be our first foot on American soil, and, you know, everything was going to be great. But unfortunately, it didn't happen. But that doesn't mean to say we don't, and I don't, appreciate all the emails and Facebook messages and MySpace comments we get from you guys out in the States. You know, it means a lot to us that you even know who we are, to be honest. And, you know, the fact that you're getting in touch with us, saying you want us to come and play for you, keep telling us, and we'll keep telling the record company. And hopefully, you know, between you guys and us, we'll get the job done somehow. And likewise to everybody around the world, be it Japan, South America, Russia, Africa, Sri Lanka. Thanks for the support, you know. You can't do it without you, and no fans equals no band. So cheers, guys.
Okay, well,